Welcome back to Remodeling Reinvented, where we explore the creativity, strategy, and stories behind transforming homes. I'm your host, Caitlin Copley, along with producer Diana Volker. Today, we're discussing the art of staging a home and how to bring your space to life with furniture, accessories, and a thoughtful layout. Joining us today are two of Jackson Design and Remodeling's talented designers. We have senior interior designer Jen Pinto, who you may remember from a few episodes ago, and interior designer Ivan Nunez. And today they're here to share how they help clients create beautiful, functional rooms that not only look amazing in photos, but feel inviting every single day. We'll talk about everything from choosing the right furniture scale to layering textures and adding seasonal touches. So we're covering it all. We hope that you enjoy today's episode. Welcome, Jen and Ivan.
Hi. Hello.
Well, we appreciate you talking to us today about something a little bit different and fun. So before we get into it, Jen, if you want to kind of walk us through what staging actually means in context to what you guys do on a daily basis.
So I think one of the biggest differences in the way we sort of stage for photography is that we're trying to keep it simple in the sense that we want counters to be clear. We don't want too much clutter or too many personal items in the photos. I mean, the photos are going to be, you know, potentially on social media or in our portfolio. So we don't want to give like dead giveaways, like family photos and things like that. And of course, we're trying to highlight the design. We're trying to enhance the space. The accessories are not the focal point. It's supposed to be the space that we're photographing that is. So trying to pick out accessories that kind of go with the theme of the design.
Yeah.
And, you know, it may not be like for everyday living because it is maybe a little bit more sparse than what people would do with their everyday kind of lifestyle. But overall, it's to highlight the space and the designer's intent, right? So it's not necessarily about like the, you know, how you would stage for a party or real estate sometimes. Like they kind of want a stage where people are almost living in there, but you know, maybe they're like camping for guests or something. Yeah. So it's like extra neat.
Yeah.
This is more for, you know, highlighting the areas that we're trying to photograph.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. So with that said, when a remodel is complete and a client is ready to furnish their new space, how do you guide them in their furniture selections and accessory selections? Do you give them any advice on that?
Yeah. So essentially we start out with like the function of the space. Like what is this space going to be used for? Lifestyle is also taken into account. Like, do you have kids? Do you have pets? You know, is the fabric going to have to be some sort of like water or stain repellent material? So those are definitely questions that are asked. A lot of times we're helping with proportion and space planning too.
Yes.
So it's like, is this sofa going to fit in this space? You know, what is the purpose of this space? Like, is it to have conversations? There's no television, or it's to host big movie events or something like that. So the focal point is the TV. So it's really about understanding how they're going to use this space and kind of building around that and making sure everything's kind of in proportion to the way people are going to travel through their space and things like that.
Right. And is there any kind of rule of thumb as far as the timing or sequence in which people select their furniture? Like, oh, this is, you should know how big your TV is first if you're going to use it for TV, or how does that work?
Yeah, so I think it ties into how they're going to use the space. Like if the space is specifically for like TV viewing, like maybe it's a family movie room or something like that. Well, we do need to know how big the TV is. That way we can kind of determine how close or how far the furniture needs to be. And if it is a space like that, maybe we do oversized furniture so that it's nice and comfortable. There's spaces where you could put your feet up or, you know, throw beanbags around. So it's really about understanding how the space is going to function. And I usually like to start with the focal point of the space. So if the point of the space is to watch TV, then obviously that TV is going to come into play.
Mm-hmm.
And then how do you build furniture around that so that it's facing the television? How many people are going to be viewing, making sure there's no like one spot that is like the terrible spot to watch TV? Or if a space is more about like sitting down and having conversations, it's like, how do you build spaces around that so that that all the seating is facing each other and there's still like walkable space so that if people are getting up and down, traveling, there's walkways and kind of pathways where that naturally happens. So it's really about like understanding what the function of that space is. And if we're talking about like sequence of things, I usually like to do seating first because that's probably the biggest component. Yeah. Or if it's a bedroom, obviously the bed.
Yeah.
And so it's like the piece that is going to take up the most amount of space in the room is probably what you should be building.
Nice.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. And how do you think that furniture scale and placement can influence the emotional feel of the room? Or say there's a huge view, like we photographed a home recently that they had a beautiful ocean view. How does furniture have an impact on that?
Well, I think it's about taking advantage of the views for sure. I mean, if you think about it, that last house that we photographed, the one you're referring to, like I can just envision that couple sitting on the couch watching the sunset.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to set like right over the ocean. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that furniture was placed in a very particular way because that's what their view is, right? It, again, just depends on function and how taking advantage of how the space is facing too, because it should it face a particular way, there should always be sort of tasks to travel to. So you can kind of do that in subtle ways just by placing the furniture with openings or, you know, maybe there's rugs in certain areas and not in other certain areas so that you kind of are walking around the rug. So there's ways of doing that too that kind of help define the spaces and how you're going to travel through them.
Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And what are some common, I don't want to call them mistakes, but things that maybe people don't think about that when you walk into a space that maybe hasn't been remodeled yet. As far as furniture placement, do you see a lot of commonalities, like their scale of furniture is too large?
One thing I do notice is definitely the scale of furniture. A lot of times, more often than not, I would probably say it's too big for the space.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to jam this giant piece of furniture into a small space. And in essence, it makes the space feel smaller and more crowded. So that's one of the biggest things I see. Having to place the sofa right up against a wall is also like a common thing.
Mm-hmm.
People don't kind of understand the concept that you can pull it away from the wall.
Yeah,
or
right.
You can pull
redirect.
It mm-hmm. kind of in a different direction. So it kind of helps the flow of the space.
Yeah. So people can walk around mm-hmm. behind the couch. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. So that's different.
Yeah.
Most people place it against the wall automatically. They just think that's the thing.
And same
to
with the bed too. Sometimes you're just like, oh, I guess it goes over there and then it'll stay there as long as you live in the house.
Yeah.
So kind of shifting gears here, Ivan. So I know we just photographed a home last week. Great job on that. And I know you guys have a process when it comes to prepping the homes for the photography. So when you do a walkthrough of these homes, what are some things you're making note of when you're walking through?
I think it's all very dependent on the home. I think the project we last photographed was a whole home. So flow and layout was very important.
Mm-hmm.
It came into play when taking the pictures of the space and planning for what that feature shot is going to be. Another important factor is probably the lighting. With a house that has plenty of windows, it's going to become a big role. Those spaces that are maybe further inside of the house might need a little bit of extra help. Mm-hmm. How can we highlight those better? And then we have the big living room with the big windows that maybe it just does need help. It just has to be accented right.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to make sure that exterior is looking nice.
Right.
Another thing that we really want to make note of is we love your family, we love your kids, but when it comes to photographing this space, we want to make sure it looks neutral.
Mm-hmm.
We want this home to look like it's lived in by almost the perfect couple with no clutter anywhere. So pay attention to where your trash cans are, your mats, your shoes. We don't want to get those in. So we pre-plan to remove those.
And that can help when someone is looking at the remodeling portfolio on the website, for example, they can kind of picture themselves doing a remodel similar to that.
We're essentially trying to create a mood board that anybody can see.
Ooh, mood board, living mood board.
Exactly.
I like that. And speaking of that, do you have a strategy when it comes to planning each area for the accessories? And I know
know, you bring in fresh flowers. How do you incorporate colors and how do you do that?
Yeah. I mean, every client, every home is different. And just like furniture, scale and proportion becomes a really big part, especially when decorating and staging, because you don't want something to overtake the look of the kitchen. You don't want the accessory to become the focal point. Sometimes things have to be a little bit smaller for a bathroom. You don't necessarily want the big vase in there.
Yeah.
Sometimes a little bit of a bigger vase makes sense on the kitchen island.
How long is the counter? How tall are the ceilings? You know, how much space is there to fill? We don't want, you know, this tiny little vase on this giant entire slab island.
Mm-hmm. It all comes into play.
Yeah.
When it comes to that mood board, a feeling that we're trying to create for a potential client.
Yeah.
I think other things that are very important is the style and color of those hard finishes that are already in place. The carpet, the tile flooring, the cabinets, the countertop. Those are really going to direct the story of the home.
And like the style of the home, mm-hmm. it all influences what types of things you're looking for, right?
Correct. And when we're doing our shopping for the staging, we rely on that to be our guiding source, because that's what's going to bring everything full circle and make it feel fantastic and lived in and a place you want to be.
And you're just trying to really enhance it and make it look like its best self, right?
Yeah, correct. I think the goal is that feature shot, the shot that we're trying to get on the front of the magazine.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. No, that makes sense. And in preparing for the shoot, I know you take pictures when you do your walkthrough. And Jen, don't you guys draw things out so you have like a kind of an idea?
Yeah, so the way we did it the last time, which I felt like actually turned out really well, was I kind of let Ivan lead the walkthrough with the client. And I was in the background really focusing on taking pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And taking straight shots with the intention of, well, how are we going to sketch on this picture? So I kind of had that thought in the back of my mind when we did that. It's almost like a creative's way of making a checklist.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good guiding point on like how we're going to fill the space. Like, so we sketch some accessories on there, like, oh, well, I just sketched 3 objects on here. So that means I got to figure out how to fill those spaces. Like, what do we have? What do we need to shop for?
Right.
So it's a starting point. It'll all get adjusted, but at least it's where we kind of start the creative process with that.
Yeah. So I know you purchased some items and accessories and things, and then you have invested just from over time into some key pieces. Right? There are some things that you store at JDR that you keep on hand for multiple photo shoots.
Yeah, so we have a closet, which is actually a pretty good size closet. And me and Ivan had spent quite a bit of time kind of reorganizing that.
Oh, the closet.
Yeah. Lots of...
I want to go shopping in
the closet. I know, me too.
Yeah, everybody walks by and was like, oh my gosh, I didn't even know this was here. But yeah, we spend some time kind of sorting, getting to know the closet, I guess you would say.
Very well.
And it's like, oh, look at all these vases we have. Look at all these objects. And like, oh, we have silver things. We have gold things. Look at all these books I didn't know we had. So it was a good way of getting to know the closet.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's going to be certain key points. We're always going to need books. We're always going to need candles, vases, things like that. And if it's like a good neutral piece that we think we can use,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, maybe it chipped on the corner or something and we just have to keep it. It's just things that we know we'll use for many things.
Yeah.
I think a closet is a great source for all of our photo shoots. However, what we really love doing is going out into the world and finding those special pieces that make the project feel whole. So while we can probably stage a project with what's in our closet, every home is special. Every home we want a story for.
Yeah.
And finding those pieces out there is really fun. And sometimes we get lucky, find a great piece that is going to make it into the featured shot and it looks great.
Yeah. And you probably get inspiration when you're out and about, even eating, I would think even eating at a restaurant, a cool restaurant or something, or just being about town, you might mm-hmm. be inspired by multiple things and you could use your creativity, right?
I think any place is a place to find creativity, even after work. A restaurant is great. The mall, store, window shopping, going to friends' places. I think we live in a circle in which all our friends tend to be creative and they have their own style and we get ideas from them. And maybe it's something that we use in a photo shoot. Maybe
yeah.
it's
I know. I've seen some really creative solutions from you guys. And I know there's hours and hours of time it takes to put it all together and everyone just sees the finished project. But how do you manage your time the day of the shoot or leading up to it to help it go smoothly? Because, of course, the client is living there. And so you want to make sure it's a smooth process from start to finish. So what are some things that you guys do when you're there or leading up to it?
Yeah, I mean, overall, this is a team activity. One person would find it very hard to do this. And preparation starts weeks before the actual photo shoot. You communicate with the client key details about how it's going to go, what the process is, so they feel comfortable. And then once you're shopping for decor and your staging items, it's all going into a bin. It's then going to be labeled kitchen, mudroom, living room, bedroom, plenty of different rooms in the home. And they all need to be very organized. What comes into play at that point is the sketches that we draw on the pictures that Jen takes. And then we get to the fun day, which is the photo shoot day. Everybody follows the lead person at that point around the house.
Mm-hmm.
Do a quick walkthrough. We make sure people know where they're assigned. All the bins are tagged. They go into their location.
So there's some heavy lifting.
Yeah,
literally.
There's some
serious stuff.
So during the summer, it gets a little warm.
It's a little rough.
You build up a little sweat.
Oh.
But hopefully with a little bit of organization that you do at the beginning, things go smoothly. Everybody works in their zones. We have our list of the shots we're going to take and our checklist. Talk to everybody about what items are going to go in there. Any special circumstances, we take pictures of what everything was like before we got there. And after that, it's fun. Everybody has questions. Everybody needs you as a sort of guiding light. You just have to try to keep everybody organized.
On task. And it seems like it's just a lot of trial and error and standing back and placing things. Like if there's a fireplace mantle, you know, here's a candle and here's a clock. And then you're standing back and then asking someone else's opinion.
That's where the sketches kind of come in handy, because then we're sort of handing off the sketches to the person assigned to that area. And I always tell them like, hey, this is a guideline. You have the accessories in here to accomplish this. But if you think things need to be moved around a little bit, like, by all means. And then afterwards, Ivan and I will take a walk around to make sure everything looks good. So when we think we're done, we take a walk around, we maybe move things around, we'll stand back and then stand back again, and then probably keep moving things around. And so we always have that bin of extras too, because overpacking is key.
Having options. That's so true. And
yeah, sometimes you just don't know how it's gonna look until you put it up there and you're like, oh, that's a little bit short or a little bit too tall, and
yeah,
you gotta swap it out with,
you're like, I need something shorter. Or you sometimes have to get creative. You almost, like, I know you guys were recently putting something in someone's clear cabinets and it was kind of getting hidden because it was, the plates or the bowls were a little too low, so Jen put like a little piece of wood and then placed it on top of it and it was perfect and it was a perfect height. So I think thinking outside the box. And that was hilarious that you said you guys come back in and retouch, because I was helping them recently. It's a funny story. So I was assisting them with the primary bath in a recent photo shoot. And of course, I'm all proud of myself taking pictures like, look, I staged this. I'm sending it to my sister. Look, I staged this. And then I'm like, I come back and I'm like, yeah, they changed it.
Oh.
It actually didn't look that bad the first time. So I was like, okay, their little retouches actually made it look way better. So, but it's just amazing but it's all part of the process, because it saves you time where someone from the team is there helping you at least place the items somewhere that makes some kind of sense. And then you come back in and the items you're most likely going to use are already in the bathroom or the kitchen. And it's really just optimizing everything and making it look its best. So it takes a special kind of eye, and we're always so impressed, right, Diana?
Absolutely.
I know. What are some of your favorite ways to help make a space feel cozy or inviting, since especially we're getting into fall coming up? So are there any kind of things you guys would recommend or that you like to utilize in these shoots?
For me personally, there are plenty of textures and materials in a home, but a good living plant is always a great choice. And it looks great in the summer, in the fall. It It looks great in the summer. It looks great in the fall. As long as you keep it alive, it is a great source of decor.
So living.
Living.
Yeah. It does give it some life. Different. Something about having green. Do you have a background in plants? Did you work somewhere?
I have a little bit of a background in plants. I did FFA growing up. I did horticulture, floriculture.
Oh my gosh.
A couple of awards on the national level. That was fun.
Just a little bit, I guess.
Oh yeah, wow. Traveling to Indianapolis for finals is
great. Oh wow. No biggie.
It was a team effort. Me and my whole team. But I think plants are just a great source to have in a home. It just brings everything together.
That's impressive.
That's a really great tip. How can people, and how do you guys, when you're staging these, build a color palette that you feel is timeless in a space?
So I feel like we always kind of start with a blank canvas. So we're trying to use neutrals as a color base. It's always nice to kind of mix and match a little bit of the warm and cool. There's always going to be a predominant one. So if the house is kind of speaking to warm colors, then we will probably use mostly warm neutrals, but kind of throwing in a cool tone kind of helps balance that out. And then we just build upon that. Accent colors, you can go crazy with accent colors, but if you're looking for something classic and timeless, I sort of refer back to like classic paintings, like earth tones, greens, blues, maybe some burgundies or like mustard colors. I always kind of think of what did artists use in natural elements of the earth to make paint?
Oh.
And those are timeless. You know, those you never get bored of. They're not too bright or crazy. And you just sort of build upon that. I think that's
a great analogy.
It's a good way of doing it.
What's with the Pantone colors of the year? Do they ever come into play at all when they
sometimes you see them kind of trending in materials a little bit or in fabrics. A lot of it's fashion, beauty, that sort of thing.
Okay.
I remember in the past, like it's been fuchsia, or I think this year it's kind of like a muted color, like
it's
brown.
Like brown.
So you kind of see the direction of like fashion kind of going in more of the browns and things like that. So okay. I mean, it's in accessories, it's in even hair color, makeup is more of like an encompassing type of thing.
I see.
I feel like I've seen it at the office too, when the women are wearing the mocha mousse outfits.
And I feel like it's all over our clothes.
Yeah. And it changes, especially we look at team photos or photos from previous years. And I'm like, that must have been the color of the year because everybody's wearing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. I know I mentioned earlier we're coming into fall. I know today Starbucks started selling their pumpkin spice lattes.
I love
Get ready.
To those who celebrate.
You know I was there too.
Oh my gosh.
So how do you help keep the seasonal decor fresh and modern? Do you guys have some tips for people? Some things they can incorporate without being too cliche? Are there some classy sort of touches that they can add that you think would just give just enough?
I feel like mixing it in with kind of your everyday decor. So kind of keeping key elements of your everyday neutral bases, things that are already there and just kind of adding to. Not only is it easier to add things, and then when it's cleanup time, I mean, you're not clearing off every single pillow in your house.
Yeah.
It's just like an accent pillow or like a few little figurines or, you know, adding like spooky candles or something like that is just sort of like a accent. I don't think going overboard is necessarily like, maybe it's good for like an event or something, but not necessarily like for every day. So I think if not only budget wise, I feel like even just keeping it timeless, I think kind of mixing it in with your everyday decor is key.
Right.
And overall, I think what you really want to do is avoid it being cliche.
Yeah.
So I love a good trend, but sometimes in decor, it's not necessarily needed. I think what's big right now is like Summerween. Halloween and summer.
Summerween.
Summer-ween. It's funny. It's you go to any store, you'll find a little ghost in like a floaty, and it's adorable.
Little beach parties with ghosts.
Skeletons.
I don't know if it's going to be looking great next year. And then you just spent money. Uh-huh. Yeah, and then you just spent money on something that you probably won't use again. Those bases, those neutrals, those items that can blend in with your current decor is probably the best way to go.
Great tips.
Even Halloween into like fall and kind of that Thanksgiving time, mm-hmm. you're using more like neutral pumpkins, not necessarily like orange and bright black. Orange.
You know, yeah. Witchy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like you can mix in some witchy stuff and kind of like little bats or something, but then remove those and you're all set up for more Thanksgiving vibes.
That's a really great tip. Cause yeah, it is a little bit different. The Halloween versus Thanksgiving. It's a different sort of look. So
then overall, if you're able to get them to bleed into one another, you save money.
That's like the key.
If your fall works for Halloween, fantastic. If your Halloween works for Thanksgiving, great.
Perfect.
You're saving money. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
The 10-foot skeletons, I don't know what people are doing with that afterwards. I think I've seen it year round. They put Santa hats on it.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know. Not for our photo shoots, but.
So to end things, Diana has some quick fire questions to ask you both.
Okay, so Jen, I'm going to start with you.
Okay.
What do you think is one must-have accessory every living room should have?
So with that, I mean, there's so many things. And Ivan's probably going to laugh at this answer, but a good air plant.
Oh,
it's a good filler for everything.
Air plant. What is that exactly? I know a lot of people don't really know what
you are
that
asking. Is. The wrong person.
Mr. Horticulture, what is an air plant?
Maybe Ivan knows what they are.
air.
It is a perfect plant for somebody who forgets to water their plants.
Oh, all the that would time. Be me.
It's
okay.
An adorable little like foliage plant that's all green. That looks fantastic, whether it's in a niche in a bathroom, right by your books, next to some beads or something.
Does it go in water? What is it doing?
You should spray it. You just spray it in the air. It lives in air. It's an air plant.
In the air. Oh my goodness. Okay.
That's always great filler. Like I said, books, beads, like those are just great. I think they make spaces look high end, which is funny. You see beads all over stores.
Right.
And I've even had somebody say like, oh, is that what those are for?
I know. You see them everywhere.
Because you see them everywhere. And a lot of people don't know how to use them.
What they are for.
I know. Because I've seen you arrange them on books or
in a bowl,
baskets.
Yes. It's just to add texture and color.
It is. And it's definitely a talent trying to get that placed right.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Yeah.
Oh.
That and
throws. Blankets. Oh, yes.
There is a special technique that exists out there. I don't know if I've quite learned exactly what it is, but you have to throw that blanket perfectly.
Uh-huh. So it doesn't look messy.
I know. I had to go on YouTube because I was like, this is just, I'm having
out.
A hard time. And then they have different options within the options. I'm like,
I think it was easier for me to learn how to tie than throw a blanket.
Now you know. My gosh. All right, Jen. So if you could design a room around just one statement piece, what would it be?
I almost feel like it could be like anything and everything. But if I have to pick one thing, I mean, if it's like a statement piece chandelier or a light fixture, I feel like that would speak to so many things. It could almost like tell a story.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think light fixtures definitely set the vibe of the room.
For sure.
I feel like just finding that insanely cool artistic statement piece, like building a room around that.
Nice. Yeah. And what do you think is one small change that makes a big impact in any space?
Getting the proportions right. I think that's really important, you know, making sure even if it's like a window covering, if it's the right proportion, it's going to really change the overall aesthetic of the space, making sure there's a blend of textures, you know, soft versus hard. I mean, if you have wood flooring, a rug is always fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Different types of fabrics in your furniture and kind of seating arrangements are always great.
There might be one furniture piece in one room and you go, have you ever thought about moving it over here in this other room or moving chairs? And sometimes when people see it in a different area, it can open up their whole world.
Yeah.
Sometimes just changing it up, not being afraid to. And those furniture movers are convenient. I know, Ivan, what are they? They're
the discs.
Yeah, the little discs
that you slip under the legs.
It helps you move things a lot easier if you're doing it alone. But luckily, I have a great team behind me. So, I think sometimes you're in your home for so long. Those pieces just seem like, oh, they're going to stay there. That's where they should be. But it just takes somebody to come in with that special eye and maybe give you that suggestion that like, hey, maybe it looks better over there. Or like, hey,
yeah, fresh. Sometimes it's just like
fresh
perspective.
Fresh perspective like that. Ivan, are you ready?
I'm ready.
What is your go-to source of inspiration when styling a space?
I think my go-to source for every single space is probably the client. This is their baby. They've been here from the very beginning. They've owned the place for who knows how long. They lived through construction, through all the details. And I think at the end of the day, I really want to like honor the space and the intent of what it's supposed to be. So if they've been living their whole life in the army or something, or they're a dedicated teacher, I think it helps me plan for what the spaces should really be and what they should look like.
That's good information. What is your favorite unexpected decor element you've used in staging?
The most unexpected staging.
You already did air plant. So
I know. I was going to say wood plant. Those aren't unexpected. I think the complete opposite would be on the last photo shoot, there was like this metallic cage that was like 3 feet tall, silver. It looked like something an ant would live in. But it looked fantastic next to this coffee table.
A cage?
It was.
I don't even know what category it is in the store.
It's not a vase.
You can't put anything in it.
It's not a pedestal.
It's in the cage aisle.
It's somewhere. It was close to Halloween. So I was getting like Halloween decor, so maybe I just accidentally picked up something.
This client loved it, though. It looks so fantastic in the space. And I mean, you see it at first, and you're like, what is that?
What do you put in it? Is it
nothing?
Nothing.
It's
full of holes. It's silver. It's 3 feet tall. I think those weird abstract objects are sometimes the best.
It's like an art piece.
It's an art piece. Yeah.
Sculpture in a way.
Exactly.
Okay. Nice. Great tip. Okay. And what do you think is one budget-friendly tip for refreshing a room instantly?
If you want instant, probably flowers. Seasonal. Flowers. You got me. Scents and everything. If you want to wait a little longer than an instant, paint. I'm sorry, but
it's a budget-friendly way to do it.
It's budget-friendly.
That's true.
I want to say millennial gray is out.
It's out.
Swiss coffee.
Sorry.
Not doing the Pantone of the year. What are we doing?
Yes, a nice fuchsia color on the wall.
Oh, there we go.
But yeah, I think it's just the paint color. It can make such a difference, especially in darker rooms that people are like, oh, I don't have any light in it or something. Mm. But yeah, if you want to just wait a little longer, spend a little bit more, paint will probably.
Okay, so flowers and paint it is.
Yeah.
Those are fantastic, fantastic tips. Well,
thanks, guys.
Today was so amazing hearing from you both. I think we learned a lot about what you do and what it takes from behind the scenes and all the planning that it takes. And I think it's really worth it in the end. And hopefully some of the listeners got some inspiration. I know I'll be shopping for some air plants this weekend.
I'm gonna get an air plant.
So
I'm gonna paint my wall also.
Thank you again for being here today.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Of course.
It was fun.
Thank you so much for joining us for today's conversation on space planning and staging. We hope you picked up some practical ideas and creative inspiration from Jen and Ivan that you can bring into your own home. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to follow Remodeling Reinvented on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to rate us 5 stars. Thanks for listening.